Ecclesiastes chapter 11,
verse 1. Cast thy bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find it after many days. And give a portion to seven and also to eight, for thou knowest not what evil shall be upon the earth. If the clouds be full of rain, they empty themselves upon the earth. And if the tree fall toward the south or toward the north, in the place where the tree falleth, there it shall be. He that observeth the wind shall not sow, and he that regardeth the clouds shall not reap. As thou knowest not what is the way of the Spirit, nor how the bones do grow in the womb of her that is with child, even so thou knowest not the works of God who maketh all. In the morning sow thy seed, and in the evening withhold not thine hand, for thou knowest not whether shall prosper, either this or that, or whether they both should be alike good. Starting in verse 1, it says, cast thy bread upon the waters. I want to preach this morning about casting your bread upon the waters. I'm going to give you seven different points about casting your bread upon the waters. We're going to talk about what that bread is and what that waters is, what those waters are. I was reading this story about Billy Graham. He was telling that he went to this town to preach and he needed the post office. He had a letter he needed to send, and there was a little boy standing there, and he told the little boy, hey, asked the little boy, do you know where the post office is? And the little boy said, you know, told him where the local post office was in town. And Billy Graham turned around at the little boy and says, now son, if you come up here tonight to the local Baptist church, I'm going to be telling people how they can go to heaven. Do you want to come? And the little boy said, no, I don't think I'll go. You don't even know how to get to the post office. Out of the mouth of babes come the truth. Cast thy bread upon the waters. Guys, that bread is Jesus Christ. That's the God. That's the Word of God. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God, Jesus Christ. He said, I am the bread of life. That bread you're supposed to be casting is the bread of life. And it says to cast it upon the waters. In Revelation 17, the Bible tells us that waters is interpreted as multitudes upon multitudes of people, upon all the people, upon all the nations. So the Bible says, first off, you need to know is to cast thy bread upon the waters. You need to be going and casting your bread upon the waters. You need to have an outlook and a part of your life where you said, I need to get the gospel out. And I need to get the gospel out to as many people as I can get it out to. I need to be casting it out. I need to be casting it out. Bread's no good when you're hoarding it up. You need to get the bread, and you got enough bread. I know y'all got enough bread. You need to take that bread. You need to be casting it out. The Bible says in Amos chapter 8, it says there's a famine in the land for the hearing of the words of God. There's not a famine in the hand for the words of God. You see them in front of the pew. Most of y'all got the words of God in your lap. We've got words of God just coming out our ears. Bible's coming out our ears, but nobody's hearing it, and nobody's proclaiming it. The TV's not proclaiming it. Very rarely. Radio, you got to get it out. You got to cast it out. And you need to be casting out that bread upon the waters. You know, this speaks to, you know, being here in Texas, we can understand what this is. You ever been down to a local fishing tank? I knew a guy had a fishing tank, and they go down there and feed the catfish. And you take that catfish food, and they just cast it out on those waters. And what you'd see, after a while, you see this. You see all the fish coming up and eating off the top of the wall. Y'all seen, anybody seen that happening? You see the catfish. But you know what? When you're casting out that bread, you don't know what's eating it. You don't know if it's perch, catfish, turtles. You don't have any idea. But it don't matter. Your job is to go down to the tank and cast that bread out. You just cast it out. So the main thing you need to know right off the top is you need to be casting out the bread upon the waters. That's our job as Christians. Nobody else is going to do it. You need to be doing it. And that's just not a minister or a pastor's job. That's everybody underneath the sound of my voice is a born-again Christian. You need to be casting out your breads upon the water. Amen. Cast thy bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find it after many days. Verse 2, give a portion to seven, also to eight, for thou knowest not what evil shall be upon the earth. It says, give a portion to seven. That number seven is the number of perfection in the Bible. Right. Then it says, and also to eight, number of eternity. Cast your bread upon the waters. The number of perfection is seven. And the number eight, that speaks to going the extra mile. You're supposed to go the extra mile to do this stuff. You're going to have to go out of your way to do this stuff. You're going to have to go out of your way to tell people about Jesus Christ. You're going to have to swallow your pride. Sometimes you're going to have to get the courage through the Holy Spirit and speak out when you don't want to speak out. You have to say stuff. Invite somebody to church. You can be a difference maker. You can be a difference just by talking about the Lord with them. You say, well, I don't know if I have the boldness, Brother Keegan. I don't know. I'm kind of shy. That's okay. That's what we have these for right here. That's what this bread's for. Amen. These gospel tracts, they do all the speaking for you, see?
Amen. Amen.
You might not have courage. You can say, can I give you some food for thought? Can I give you something to think about? Or just lay it out somewhere where somebody else can find it. There was a guy, the pastor over in Valera Baptist over there near Coleman, Texas. He said the way he got saved, he was at Six Flags of Texas. He's waiting in line to go on one of those rides. He looked down and there was a gospel tract just like this laying on the ground. He reached down, he picked it up, and he read it, and he got saved.
Amen.
Well, think about that. Meditate on that. How'd that thing get on the ground? Some Christian somewhere was casting the bread of water, casting his bread out on the waters. He didn't know who was going to get it. He had no idea who was going to find it. Somebody got that. Somebody came along and got that. What'd they do? They got that, and they just threw it to the ground. I don't want that junk. I don't want to hear about that. And he comes along, and he finds it. You know what happens is, when you're casting your bread, you need to diversify. That's what that verse says right there. Give a portion to seven and also to eight. The second point about casting your bread is you need to diversify. Do it in different ways. Just coming to church is not going to work. Jesus Christ wants us to get out of the church and go into the lost and dying world and tell them about Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You're not going to get them in this church. Very rarely. Once in a while we'll get some people in here that are lost, but it's pretty rare, isn't it? You need to get out. Satan wants to keep you in this house. Satan loves it if all you'll do is come to church, sit in the pew, and leave the church, and not witness for Jesus Christ, not talk about Jesus Christ. That's Satan's favorite Christian. He loves Christians like that. Because you're dead.
Amen.
And you don't even know it. Christians that go out and witness for Jesus Christ. And what I mean by that, guys, diversify, diversify, diversify. You don't have to be bold and say, are you going to hell? But you can be at work and say, man, it sure is a blessing the Lord's been sending this rain. I sure do thank Jesus Christ for the rain we've been getting. That's a testimony. What happens? That person starts thinking about Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit can use that bread that you're casting out on the waters to speak to their heart. You're not doing it anyway. It's the Holy Spirit working on that person's heart that's doing it. But God needs your mouth.
Amen.
The Lord needs your mouth to be able to speak out. To be able to speak out. You notice how the sinners nowadays, as the Spirit of the Lord has left this country, you notice how the sinners are getting a lot more bold about talking? They're getting a lot more bold about their witnessing. They witness for their sin. They get out and have these parades and gay pride, and they're bold about witnessing for what they believe. They're bold about witnessing for the sin they're living in. As Christians, we can't be as bold. For sure we can. Amen. We can't be as bold. This ain't the time, Christians, to get yellow-bellied and roll over and show your belly. This ain't the time.
Right.
And you think, well, I'll start witnessing when they come to take my Bible, then I'll say, no, you won't. You'll roll over and show your belly. If you're not willing to fight for it right now, you're not going to fight for it when they come to get your Bible. You need to be fighting for the Lord right now. And when I say fighting, I'm talking about witnessing.
Amen.
Nothing physical. I'm talking about getting the Word of God out. Put it on your car. Put it at your house. Put a sign out in front of your house. Be willing to tell people about Jesus Christ. The time to work, the time to cast out this bread, my friends, is right now.
Amen.
He said, well, it's too late, Brother Keegan. It's too late for this country. I believe this country's shot. I believe it's going down the toilet. And that's the way the Lord said it was going to be in the end times. But it's not too late for a lost and dying world. There's souls out in America that want to be saved. There's souls in America. Listen, I ride with guys that are 40 years old that can't tell me the first book of the Bible and the last book of the Bible. I ride with guys that are 40 years old that can't tell me the four Gospels. About the only thing they can tell me, Jesus. And I'm here to tell you, they don't even know Jesus. They think Jesus is walking around with hippie hair. He's walking around in a field of daisies kissing the butterflies and kissing the morning dew. They have no idea the real Jesus. It's your job and my job to cast that bread out there on the waters. And we need to be diversifying it. That's why we're doing the right thing here at the church. We're diversifying our bread. We're putting it out into missionaries all over the world. Amen. We're taking our bread and we're putting it on the radio. We're trying to get people saved through the radio ministry. And I've really been praying about that because I hadn't seen any fruit from this radio ministry. None. Nobody's emailed me. Nobody's called me. Nobody's come and said, you know what? I hate your guts. You know, I'm willing to take that. It's anything. Is that bread that I'm casting out, is it just going off into the airwaves, into nothingness? And I prayed to the Lord. I said, Lord, are we wasting our money? Do I need to take that money and bring it back in and put it into something else? Because we're going to put it into something else. Amen. And But I don't want to waste our time. I said, where's the fruit, Lord? Where's the fruit? And I got a call from Sister Linda. She says, I need to tell you something. We have some people that don't want to know we don't want you to know who they are or anything. They're going to give you $300 for that radio ministry. Bobby's with me. And I said to myself, Lord, there's my answered prayer. I guess we're just going to have to keep on casting.
Amen.
What happens with you when you're in a small church like this, and even in big churches in America, it's gotten to the point like this. You put your bait out when you're fishing, because we're fishers of men, amen. And we put our bait out when we're fishing. And when we're fishing, putting our bait out, we have a couple of fish come by. One or two fish come by, and they look at the bait, and they sniff it. And you know when you're fishing, you can look and see your bait, and you see the fish, and they don't bite, and they kind of swim off. And what do you think when you're fishing? Something's wrong with my bait. What's wrong with my bait? And you reel in the bait and you're looking at the worm. You say, well, I got my hands all over it. And you want to put fresh bait on. You put fresh bait all over it. You throw it back in the water. And there might be another couple of fish come by. And you can see through the water and see the fish. And they just kind of nibble and then they run off. And I pray about that. Lord, what am I doing wrong? Am I being too strong in my invitation? Am I being too bold for Jesus Christ? Maybe I need to tone it down. Maybe I need to. What am I doing wrong? You know what the Lord told me in my heart? I believe the Lord told me in my heart. He said, it's not you. It's not the bait. You just need more fish.
Amen.
You know, if I was sitting in a pond of fish where there was hundreds and hundreds of fish, there might only be 20 catching my bait. But I would have the time of my life.
Yeah.
I'd be so busy pulling those fish. Woo-hoo! They're biting today. And there might be 1,000 fish and only 20 of them are biting. But I feel like I'm just having the time of my life. The last thing I'd be doing is questioning my bait. Guys, we got the right bait.
Yeah.
We just got to get it diversified. We got to get it thrown out. We got to get it up on the waters. There's a man that lives up the Mississippi River. He took this verse right here, and he took it literal, and he took some bottles. And what he'd do is he'd take bottles, and he'd stick gospel tracts in there, and he'd put a cork in it, seal it up, and he'd throw it out on the Mississippi River.
Amen.
For people to find. Cast thy bread upon the waters.
Amen.
He'd get people riding him in all down the Mississippi, all around the Gulf Coast. He had people riding him in and said, I found your bottle, and I accepted Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior.
Amen.
You know, one day he got a letter from Hawaii. One of those bottles, somehow, some way, God's divine hand, it went down the Mississippi. I don't know if it went through the Panama Canal or what it did, or it got on a boat, or maybe God had a stork pick it up and carry it all the way to Hawaii. I have no idea how I got to Hawaii. But the guy was on the beach in Hawaii and saw it washed up, picked it up, uncorked it, saw that, and got saved. Guys, we don't know. When we cast our breads out, we don't know. But the main point this verse 2 is telling you, you need to be diverse. You need to We know that with everything we do. We don't take all our retirement and put it into one basket, do we? If you got a good retirement, they put it on a different mutual funds, right? Amen? And they diversify it. The world says, don't put all your eggs in one basket. You're supposed to get it out. Do it in different ways. If you're not having luck with one way, do it in another way. Be diverse. Verse 3, if the clouds be full of rain, they empty themselves upon the earth. And if the tree falleth toward the south or toward the north, and the place where the tree falleth, there it shall be. The third thing you need to know is, no matter what's happening in your life, you need to keep casting.
Amen.
See right there, verse 3 is saying it's natural for things to happen. Things just happen, guys, in your life. The trees are going to fall. And where they fall, that's where it's going to land. Cloud comes over, it's going to rain. Storms are going to come into your life. I don't care if you're a Christian or not a Christian. Storms come. Bad things happen. Illnesses, sicknesses, family problems, money problems, financial problems. I don't know what's going on in your life, but I'm here to tell you, you need to keep casting. You need to be busy casting it out. Just keep on casting it out. Say, well, Brother Keegan, I'm having so much family problems. Well, do something for the Lord. Stay busy for the Lord. Cast it out. Say, well, I have this sickness or illness. Well, be diverse. Find another way. Write some letters. Send them in the mail. Just get one of these gospel tracts and put it in an envelope. Don't put a return sender on. They won't know who sent it. Just mail it to them. Say, man, that'll make them so mad. Good. They need to get mad right into heaven. They need to be offended. You know, I can think of some people, if I was to send this gospel tract, that they would open up and they would literally flames and would probably come out their ears when they send that. And that's tempting to do that.
Well, why don't you?
Because I don't want to tell you the names that I'm going to send them to. But listen, things come into your life. Trees fall and it shall be. Whatever it is, it shall be. That's what's going to happen. You shouldn't worry about what's happening in your life. You should be casting.
Amen.
That's what God wants you to be doing, is casting. He said, well, Brother Keegan, if you knew that, you might be dealing with some sin. There might be some sin in your life. You say, well, there's some sin in my life, and I'm having some problems. I'm trying to get there. You know what? Just keep on casting. You're not casting yourself out on the water. You're not casting out your problems out on the water. You're casting out Jesus Christ. It don't matter what the messenger's doing. It's the message. It's not the messenger. It's the message that makes somebody excited. You're not selling yourself. You're not selling your problems. You're selling Jesus Christ. You're casting Jesus Christ out on the water. That's what you're trying to do. Verse 4, he that observeth the wind shall not sow, and he that regardeth the clouds shall not reap. Now guys, the truth is, and this is the problem we have. A lot of y'all have this problem. I have this problem too. We don't want to offend somebody. We're afraid what people are going to think of us. They're going to think we're a religious nut. They're going to think you're a Bible thumper. And if you're going to observe and be caring and worrying about people, what people are thinking about you, you're not going to get any casting done. You're not. Listen, they're going to talk about you anyway.
Amen.
Amen. You think you're so good, they're not talking behind your back. They're talking behind your back. Hey, let's give them something really good to talk about. When you got to get to heaven, when the Lord says, you know how a certain day, you were somebody was talking behind your back, and you'll say, I never knew it. But they were talking about how you were making a fool for Christ, and I'm proud of you. I'd rather the Lord be bragging about somebody making fun of me for being a fool for Christ.
Amen.
If you're worried about what people are going to think about you, you're not going to get anything done for the Lord. Look at Ezekiel. If you got your Bible, look at Ezekiel chapter 1. I'll show you this. The Lord tells Ezekiel this. Ezekiel chapter 2, verse 6. Excuse me. Ezekiel chapter 2, verse 6. If you're worried about what people are thinking of you, you're never going to get any casting done. And that's one of our main problems. Ezekiel chapter 2, verse 6. And thou, and this is God, the Lord talking to Ezekiel. And thou, son of man, be not afraid of them. Don't be afraid of them. Don't be ashamed. They're not ashamed to proclaim what they believe. I'll drive down the road and they'll have their beer bottles and they'll be holding it up at me like, yeah, come on, man. They're not ashamed to drink the beer in front of you and wave. You know, they're not ashamed of it. So why are you ashamed of Jesus Christ? Jesus Christ wasn't ashamed to hang up on the cross of Calvary naked for you.
Amen.
And we're too ashamed just to speak and say, hey, the Lord's been good to me. Can I tell you about Jesus? Say, Brother Keegan, they might get mad at me. They might. But you're going to need to offend them, maybe. I'm glad somebody had the guts to offend me right into heaven.
Yeah.
Somebody had the guts to tell me, Keegan, you're a sinner and you're going to hell without Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Somebody had the guts to tell me that. You know what I did with that? The first time, I don't know what I did with it. I was in church for a long time, but one day the Holy Spirit spoke to my heart and said, I'm going to hell. And I'm so thankful somebody had the guts, a Christian had the guts to say, you're a sinner, you're going to hell without Jesus Christ. We need some more Christians with some guts.
Amen.
And thou, son of man, be not afraid of them, neither be afraid of their words. They're going to talk about you. They're going to talk right to you. They're going to say stuff to you. Though briars and thorns be with thee, and thou dost dwell among scorpions. Guys, we're dwelling among a bunch of snakes and scorpions. Y'all know that, right? We're dwelling among a bunch of people that they'll smile at your face, and as soon as you turn around, they're just going to stab you right in the back. Yeah, that's the country we live in. That's the people we have around. Some of your best friends will do that to you. And maybe that's what the problem is. Maybe you're afraid you're going to lose some of your good friends. They find out you've been doing some of this stuff. Well, I don't want to hang out with Keegan anymore. He's kind of getting religious. He's becoming a religious fanatic. What do you mean? Well, he was handing out tracts the other day. That's so embarrassing. They sure don't mind embarrassing themselves while they're drinking, getting drunk, and throwing up all in the toilet. And they're embarrassing. That's not embarrassing to them, see. That's the way the world thinks. You got to think like the Lord thinks. Cast thy bread upon the waters.
Amen.
Be not afraid of their words, nor be dismayed at their looks, though they be a rebellious house. They're going to give you dirty looks. We were leaving the hill where Bobby and Sharon were standing. There were some Spanish guys down there, and I could see them, and they were all down there drinking, and there were some guys, some workers from the local area. So I went down there to hand them some tracts. I don't know if they could even speak English. I said, how y'all doing? They're like, fine. I said, well, I'll hand you something to read. And I was handing it to him. There's one guy standing there, and I told Kathy, I said, I could feel him tense up like he was going to stab me or something. Like he was just like, when I was handing this to him, it was like I was handing it to him, like I was pointing a gun at him or something. And he tensed up, and I handed it to him, and I told Kathy, I'm not afraid of him. The Lord's protecting me. He said, well, you're stupid. He could have beat you up. He might have. He could have. He probably should have. But when you start doing something for the Lord, you'll be amazed how bold you'll get. He says, is it you, Brother Keegan? Look at me. You see a picture of my son? He's about 3 feet taller than me. Well, what makes you so bold? The righteous are as bold as a lion.
Amen.
The Holy Spirit. Amen. There's nothing righteous about me. Y'all know me. There's nothing good about me, but when Jesus Christ is in you and you let the Holy Spirit use you, you'll be amazed.
Amen.
How bold you'll be for Jesus Christ. You got to cast that bread out. Hey, look, I was in my big old truck and I was in the alley. And I was coming out of the alley, and the alley's a real tight in Brownwood. Here comes this lady. She comes pulling up there, and she's trying to go through the alley. And I look at her, and I think, and I tell my friend, I'm not backing up. I'm in this alley. I'm not backing up, lady. You're going to have to back up. And she gives me this look, you know, like, you know, gives me, you know, if looks could kill, you know, she would have just slayed me right there, you know. And then she throws it in reverse, and she backs up and everything. I started laughing. I told the guys riding with, you know what, I've been divorced. There's no look a woman can give me that can scare me anymore. Hey, I've already had those looks that could kill. You're not going to scare me with looks. Y'all guys, I'm talking to some people that have some age on them. Y'all don't be afraid of the way somebody looks at you. Are you really afraid of the way somebody thinks about you? I'm more worried about the way the Lord Jesus Christ thinks about me. Because see, He's everything. He's my life. He's my breath. He's everything I've ever wanted. He's made all the difference in my world. Why do I care what my neighbor thinks about me? I'm more worried of seeing the look on Jesus Christ's face. Hey, Peter couldn't handle it. You think you can handle it? Peter couldn't handle it. Peter sat there cussing and denying Jesus Christ. He was over there when Jesus Christ was captured at night, and Jesus Christ standing over there. And the Bible said simply the Lord looked and he put his eyes on Peter. And Peter looked at the Lord. And when Peter made eye contact with the Lord, it said that Peter went out and wept bitterly. Peter couldn't handle it. It took one look from the Lord. Peter couldn't handle it. He ran up, started crying, Lord, I'm sorry. He was so brokenhearted. One look from the Lord Jesus Christ. When you get that knowing look from the Lord, you're going to wish you would have been casting out a whole lot more bread.
Amen.
Turn back to Ecclesiastes, please. Ecclesiastes chapter 11. Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verse 5. And as thou knowest not what is the way of the Spirit, nor how the bones do grow in the womb of her that is with child, even so thou knowest not the works of God who maketh all. You know, scientists has no idea how human beings become a living soul. We know through the Bible. Science can't tell you that. They can't figure it out. You know, the science tries to fool you into thinking they got it all figured out. They don't have it all figured out. And there, verse 5, it says, nor how the bones do grow in the womb of her that is with child, even so thou knowest not the works of God who maketh all. God works in mysterious ways. You can't figure out how God's going to work. You think that man that threw that bottle in the Mississippi River could ever imagine it make its way to the beaches of Hawaii? No, God did. When you're casting out your bread, you have no idea what God's doing with that. You have no idea what God's going to do with that. You have no idea. So listen, you need to just keep on casting. And don't try to figure out who needs it. You don't be trying to figure out who needs that. You just cast it out.
Amen.
See, we get caught up into that. We see a man with a suit and tie, and we think, well, there's a guy that's a distinguished guy. And we forget to think that guy needs Jesus Christ just as much as the drunk and the thief. You can be as good as you good could ever be, and without Jesus Christ, you're going to go straight to hell.
Right.
Lots of good people in hell today. Lots of good people in hell today. You need Jesus Christ. These rich people need Jesus Christ. The man with the suit and tie needs Jesus Christ. Don't be picking and choosing. Like you see some poor old guy that's a drunk or something. You think, well, he needs Jesus. Of course he needs Jesus Christ, but so does that guy with the suit and tie. If he doesn't know Jesus Christ, you need to just keep on casting it out. And don't be caught up in saying, okay, I'm just going to give it to him or give it to her. You give it to everybody. You'll be surprised, guys, who needs Jesus Christ that you don't know. I've been preaching in a church over there in Coleman, and somebody I thought was saved walked right down the aisle and said, I'm not saved. And they walked down the aisle, and she said, I'm not saved. I need to get saved. And she was crying and weeping, got down on her knees and got saved. I couldn't believe it. Her family couldn't believe it, guys. God works in mysterious ways. You just keep casting it out.
Amen.
You just keep casting it out. You don't pick and choose. You keep casting it out. You know, Darrell Waltrip, he's one of my heroes right now. That's what he did. He got in that prayer breakfast, and there was Obama sitting over, President Obama sitting over here, the Dalai Lama sitting over here, and a bunch of these dignitaries, and asked him to pray, and he said, good people go to hell. You need Jesus Christ. Without Jesus Christ, you're going to hell. Now, that's a man with some guts. Casting out his bread to Obama and Dalai Lama and all these people that people say, well, they're a good person. They're good. They need Jesus Christ just like you need Jesus Christ. Don't be picking and choosing. So the point of this verse 5 is when you're casting it out, you don't know who's going to, what's going on. You just keep casting it out. Verse 6, in the morning sow thy seed, and in the evening withhold not thine hand. You need to be casting 24 hours a day, guys. This needs to be a 24 hours a day. It's not just a Sunday thing. Jesus Christ should be everything to you on Monday and Tuesday all the way through Sunday.
Amen.
He should be everything to you. He should be everything to you on Monday morning, just like he is on Sunday morning. Jesus Christ should be the same for you on Friday night like he is for you on Sunday morning. You need to be casting 24 hours a day in the morning when you're young and in the evening when you're old. And no matter what age you are, you should be casting. I mean, some of the boldest witnesses I've seen for Jesus Christ are kids.
Amen.
Amen. If you go on our website, I hadn't seen a lot of y'all handing out tracts when we go. Now, I'm not calling you out, but we go to this Dove Festival, and we put that booth up, and we have these gospel tracts. And I encourage y'all to take these gospel tracts, hand them out to people. And a lot of y'all do that. But some of y'all, maybe y'all haven't had the courage yet to hand out these gospel tracts. But if you go on our website and you look at the pictures on our website, that young girl right there, she's handing out a tract to people she don't know. That little girl's got more boldness and courage than a lot of us.
Yeah. Amen.
In the morning and in the evening, withhold not thine hand. It don't matter how old you are, you can do something for the Lord.
Amen.
And on what condition you're in, you need to keep casting. You need to keep casting. End of verse 6. For thou knowest not whether shall prosper, either this or that, or whether they both shall be alike good. The final point about this casting is you don't know what's going to happen. Nobody knows. And you know what? It's just like this radio ministry. I keep complaining. Well, we're not getting a response. Nobody's emailing. Nobody's calling. Nobody's came into the church. Nobody's even complaining. The radio station don't even call me and say, hey, what's going on? They don't, nobody. But that's not my job. God says, it's not your job to know. Your job is to cast.
Amen.
Amen.
Your job is cast. But listen to me, guys. You will know. There will come a day that you will know. You
Amen.
Will know. Look at the end of verse 1. Back up verse 1 and we'll close there. Cast thy bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find it after many days. That's many days, guys. We might not know till we get the other side of heaven. But there will come a time that you will know what happened to all that bread you cast out. Have you been casting out the bread? And I think back to all these great soul winners I've been around. People can lead people to Jesus Christ. And I think about the banner, them waving the banner of Jesus Christ. And it makes me think about in these battles, these old battles they had where they would carry the banner carrier would run out in the battle and the people would be fighting around the battle, the guy that's holding the flag. And when that guy got shot that was holding the flag, when that guy got killed that was holding the flag, that flag would hit the ground and somebody else would come along and they'd pick up that banner, that flag for that military, that army, and they'd pick it up and they'd wave it bravely as they carried on into the battle. Has the Lord took some of y'all's banner wavers home? I think of some of the great witnesses I've known that could witness for Jesus Christ, and they've gone on to be with the Lord. And I thought about who's waving that banner? Who's left to wave that banner? And the Lord says, you are. Pick it up. Pick it up. Pick it up. And start waving it. And I think, Lord, I need to be waving it for their sake. They were brave. They showed me the way. They thinking about them gives me the courage. I need to pick it up and start waving it.
Amen.
For them and for the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You might be able to sound my voice in closing and say, I don't know of anybody that's ever a great soul winner. I kind of feel sorry for you about that. But you can be that person. You can be that person. That makes a difference in other people's lives. To where your kids and your grandkids and your friends can see you waving that banner and say, you know what? I'm going to get into the fight. I'm going to get into the fight. They're waving the banner for Jesus Christ. They're casting the bread on the waters. I'm going to start casting the bread.
Amen.
All it takes is for some of us to get on fire for the Lord. And you know about what fire does? It catches a hold of everything. And you might be that spark. You might be that person that picks up the flag and continues the battle for Jesus Christ.
Hey, this is Keegan Hall, the pastor of Indian Gap Baptist Church. We're just trying to glorify and lift up the name of Jesus Christ in every way we can, and we hope we were a blessing to you. Now, if you're listening, you're not saved, we want you to be saved. That's our deepest prayer. We're doing all this so people can get the gospel message of the good news of Jesus Christ. And the good news is that he died for your sin. And if you're willing to admit you're a sinner and that you need a Savior, if you go to Jesus Christ in prayer and ask Jesus Christ to save you, he'll come in and save you. Now, honestly, I can tell you, when I've done that, Jesus Christ was the best thing ever happened to me. And if you'd like to contact us, you can contact us through the web at IndianGapBaptist.com. It has all our information, how to get to our church. That's IndianGapBaptist.com. Until next time, God bless.